This one's going to be bad. This is probably the episode that's going to get me banned from YouTube. I've been waiting for it to come. Welcome back, everybody. This is Eric and Chad here with Iraq Veteran 8888. Today, we've got another gun gripe episode for you. And this might be the one that's going to get me banned from the internet. Who knows? But we're going to be talking about this recent graduation ceremony that the Marine Corps had. The first Sikh Marine to graduate boot camp with his articles of faith intact. Really interesting story. And it's kind of odd that I shared this article or this post on Twitter, and it kind of went a little crazy and blew up. And I thought it would be maybe an opportunity for us to discuss this in a little bit more long form format here. So we're going to discuss it because there's a lot of varying opinions about religious freedom and various forms. And obviously everyone has their own opinion, but I'd like to try to look at both sides of the coin here and be fair about this and as objective as we possibly can be. Before we get started, I would like to thank our friends at CMMG for supporting today's video. If you're looking for anything in the AR category, they are the king of weird. They got some awesome bufferless systems. Their 22 conversion kits are absolutely amazing. Their P90 barrels are wonderful. Everything they're doing is just top notch. And if you're looking for anything in that category, use the code IV8888 if you decide to do business with them. Tell them that we sent you over. They're a great group of people, and a big thanks to them for supporting the Second Amendment community here on the internet at large and supporting our content. All right. So, you know, look, I wasn't trying, Chad, I wasn't trying to light a dumpster fire, but apparently I did. And I shared this little post before I went to bed last night. When I woke up, it was a steaming pile of manure. So I'll just I'll share the tweet with you here. You'll see it. This comes from the Military Times. And I am going to butcher this name. I apologize, but I'm going to try my best here. But basically, PFC Joskarat Singh, he becomes the first Sikh Marine to graduate boot camp with his Articles of Faith. And here in the photo, you can see a Marine marching through his graduation ceremony wearing a traditional headdress. It looks like a turban, sporting a beard. And apparently the internet is completely melting down over this. And we wanted to kind of discuss it. And of course, you know, there are so many comments here on this particular Twitter post. I do want to probably share some of them as we go along. But wow, like everyone had something to say. And I mean everybody. This particular post got thousands of comments, 10,000 likes, 83 quote tweets, 411 retweets
so far,
with 886,000 views.
So far,
yes. So there's apparently a lot of opinions about this and whether or not it's right or wrong or should be allowed or shouldn't be. So, you know, I have my opinions. I'm curious to know your opinions. And many of you have shared your opinions already on this post, which, you know, I feel that some of these responses are enlightening, of course, because it gives us an idea of where people's minds are at. But in other ways, gosh, man, it almost kind of makes me feel sad for humanity a little bit, too. Some of them make me question my own humanity when I read some of these comments.
Well, the old adage goes, what, the internet brings out the worst in people, right?
The best and the worst,
dude.
One could argue.
I saw that tweet. I think I saw it last night, just in passing, and like my thought was, no big deal. But apparently, it's a big deal to some people.
Apparently, like, it is.
The initial thought that I have is, why is it such a problem for a U.S. citizen to petition for his religious garb and traditions to be respected? And while serving your country, I mean, this is a U.S. citizen serving in the Marines, willing to fight and potentially die for us as Americans. So I don't understand what the huge problem is with that, unless there's a case where, like, a Christian wasn't allowed to wear a cross or something along those lines. I don't know. I think everything comes with certain accommodations within reason, but that's just my initial thought. I mean, there's plenty more, but that's the big one for me.
I'm personally in the camp that I don't see a problem with it at all. I think that, you know, this isn't the same military it was 50 years ago, y'all. It just ain't. Okay. And we can cry from the mountaintops all we want. We can yell from the mountaintops. But at the end of the day, the train of progress is not going to be able to be stopped to some degree. And I think that every situation such as this should be approached on a case by case basis. And the military command should weigh each situation out on its merits and flaws in a logical and fair and concise manner. And then weigh the decision based on careful consideration. And in this particular situation, I don't really feel like they conceded in some way, or, oh, you bent my arm, so I'll allow it. Or maybe they did, you know, this soldier, this Sikh Marine ended up having to take the Marines to court, I suppose, over this to even allow this, this exemption. I think that if America is a melting pot of cultures and a melting pot of different identities, then we should all try to get along and respect each other's, you know, differences, and try to let that define what we are. I mean, America is a, when we think about what it means to be American, does it mean to be a certain religion? Does it mean to be a certain race or to follow a certain creed? I would say that arguably the only thing required to call yourself an American is to accept our way of life and defend the Constitution. And being American is a lifestyle. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of life. And as long as these people want to protect our way of life and want to, you know, be a part of this little crazy experiment that we call America, well, then I think that reasonable concessions should be made for people to be able to still foster and support their own unique cultural identities. Just because you come to America doesn't mean you give up everything you ever left from before. I mean, it certainly doesn't mean that you should be required to, you know, accept. We have freedom of religion for a reason. We have freedom of speech. You know, we have so many freedoms that are enshrined in our Constitution and in our way of life, and it's kind of sort of codified in our way of thinking, our logic, our hearts, our minds, the way we look at each other. I mean, and unfortunately, you know, you do wind up seeing a lot of situations where the worst comes out in people. And, you know, some of the comments are pretty incendiary, but many of them, to be fair, are quite supportive of this Sikh Marine, you know, who is just wanting to serve his country and still have his faith, you know, respected. And I don't really see a problem with that. Now, that the sort of crux of this argument and the way that it would go differently for a lot of people, the overwhelming majority of the comments that I see in here that are negative are usually ones where people are saying, well, we have historical traditions. Like, we have a tradition of uniformity. Like, Marines and soldiers and airmen and sailors should all be uniform. So it builds a good cohesion. Everyone looks the same. No one is different from one another. No one is treated special. You are all equally worthless, right? That's the way that builds that cohesion, right? I understand that. I absolutely do. And believe me, a lot of the old guard, so to speak, they probably think, well, God dang it, I had to shave in, you know, negative 10 degree weather with cold water and no shaving cream just to please the freaking command sergeant major who was going to walk by and chew me out because I had a little bit of stubble on my face. Trust me, I get it. I think the shaving crap is stupid. And it all goes back, okay, to the gas mask thing, right? You got to be able to have your gas mask seal. Okay, fine, I get it. So this Sikh Marine, is he going to be a liability on the battlefield because his gas mask won't seal? Come on, guys. We haven't had a gas attack since World War I, okay? It's been over 100 years. I think it's safe to say that gas is not as much of a threat as it used to be. I'm not saying that's an excuse, but I think people are making a mountain out of a molehill over this. Come on. Come on, look at Special Forces. Mm-hmm. Those guys are running around with beards and wearing baseball caps and all kind of whatever. Now, I know that's a different situation, but I almost feel like the military should accept the fact that we might all be different in many ways, but as long as our goals and our mission is the same, and as long as we have a cohesive unit identity and a cohesive mission, then it doesn't really matter how we get there as long as we get there.
Yep. All right. So you think about like women in the military, that was a huge, huge thing. You know, it caused massive uproar when they allowed women in the military. oh my goodness gracious. Oh, they're not nurses, they're soldiers. They're on the front lines. Oh, we can't have that, right? So women in the military has been accepted these days, right?
Right. And right. In many, many cases, women have been a tremendous asset.
Absolutely.
They've
Absolutely.
Been a tremendous asset. I mean, and without getting too far down the rabbit hole of history, I mean, the Sikhs also have a rich history of producing some of the finest fighting men mm-hmm. that this world's ever seen.
Yep.
And arguably, when we look at the British, I mean, now look, you know, the Sikhs served under the British in World War One and World War Two, and these guys pulled off some amazing feats of soldiering, but arguably the same could be said for many women mm-hmm. in the British military back then mm-hmm. that were putting themselves in danger. And back then, yeah, that was probably a really taboo thing to think that a lady would be put into harm's way in some way. Mm-hmm. But patriotism will do that to a person. And, you know, I think that if we're making concessions for people in our military, now I think you know where we're going with this, right? Is that if we're going to be making concessions, then let those concessions be something that we carefully weigh and measure and think about with all the logic we can muster. All right. Who do you want to make a concession for? Someone who comes from a 1,000-year-long generation of warriors and fighters? Or do you want to make a concession for someone who's just trying to, you know, bend to the political whims and wishes of the current day? I think, look, allowing a Sikh to keep his beard and turban, boys, I think we have bigger fish to fry, okay? Like, let the man serve his country. Who cares, right? Let as long as he's a model Marine and does a good job, let the guy serve. Who cares? Mm-hmm. People get so bent out of shape over the dumbest little things. Mm-hmm. But yet, people would come into this comment section and call so much grief over me just saying, hey, I accept the guy. Let the guy serve. But yet, I know you guys have seen the picture of the one Army guy. I'm going to show this one to Chad because I don't think he's seen it. Have you seen this picture?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's so ridiculous.
I mean, we're going to show you this picture. So you've got basically what appears to be
an identity crisis.
An Army colonel. That is a full bird colonel. That is an officer, an Army officer. Okay. In a... Let's just say, what do you call that? A sex mask or something that looks like a dog?
No clue.
Now, from what I understand, this was investigated and everything like that, you know, why this got out or whatever. He might have been reprimanded, who knows? Or he might not have been reprimanded. But the point remained is like the military has some pretty open-minded views about what their soldiers and sailors and Marines and airmen do in today's military.
Well, and this all came about because of current administration as well. But
correct.
And what I was going to get at with women in the military. So correct me if I'm wrong, but the standards are still the standards. Like you have to pass a certain amount of PT. You have to carry a certain load. You have to march a certain distance. Like when you're doing boot camp and stuff, like there's requirements. The women have the same requirements as the men. Is that right? Or are there lesser requirements?
There are different standards
okay.
for men and women.
Different standards. Okay, that's fine. But
yeah, right, men and women are not the same.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So there are different standards, right?
Physical
standards. Okay. So women have definitely been accepted in the military.
Of course.
For the most part. All right. So going back to like liability, you know, with the gas masks and I don't know how the turban works with like a helmet. You know, you got to take the turban off, obviously, to wear like a
personally,
an
I think we
helmet.
Should just make a turban shaped helmet for him.
So look,
there's an opportunity here.
All right, my thoughts, and I'm gonna tick some people off with this. Oh man, I don't even know.
This one's gonna be the one that gets us kicked off.
All right, so look, what's more of a liability? A Sikh Marine who wears a turban and has a beard, or they've allowed trans people into the military, right? Hormone therapies, maybe other medications that they're on for anxiety. I mean, no telling what. I mean, they might have a mountain of prescriptions that they need just to operate.
Now, the taxpayers have to pay for, by the way.
Yes, but what's more of a liability? You know, I don't have my hormone, or I don't have my pills, or I don't have this that I need. Oh, I can't do my job. Or someone who is going to do their job. And they're just from a different religious background.
Well,
I mean, like, look, we've talked about before, like, you know, as far as the 2A is concerned, we're all open. But I mean, I still have my opinions about things like that.
Of course. So I think you're correct. I mean, look, I have no problem, you know, with trans folks being in the military as long as they can do their damn job.
Yes.
You know, and as long as there's not some, you know, ridiculous impediment of some sort on their ability to perform their everyday tasks.
I would just hope
be it medical be. Or yes. be it physiological or mental or whatever they might be going through. You know, is it something that some difficulty they're trying to unpack? Or is it that perhaps 75 or 80% or maybe even 90% of the people who are transgender in the military are actually, you know, kind of quite normal people that just can do their jobs just fine, and that maybe it's a giant nothing burger. Maybe it's just a perception of it that we have an issue with or whatever. Or maybe it's a group of people that just fails to accept that there are people different than them in the military and that, you know, they have a hard time coping with that. I'm not going to venture to, you know, I haven't been in the military in a long time, so I'm not going to sit here and say I even pretend to know what it's like to serve now compared to what it was 20 years ago. The truth of the matter, though, is that, you know, if they're going to say, well, these Sikhs, because they wear their turban and they have their beard, that it's distracting and that it's not in line with the Uniform Code of Military Justice, or it's not in line with our grooming standards or our uniform standards, well, a guy in a dog sex mask definitely isn't a full bird colonel with that. So, you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to, you know, applaud that type of behavior in an open environment, you know, you always see all these people online, these leftists especially, that, oh, yeah, so brave. And, you know, it shows the inclusion in the military. And okay, fine, whatever, take it. But you can't have both.
Inclusion, like, weakness.
You can't say, well, this person's a liability because they have a beard and a turban, yet this person isn't a liability. This is obviously some rather perverse and odd behavior for an officer, for a full bird colonel that is one rank below a general.
My concern is how our military might is viewed in other parts of the world. Like, they see things like this that are going on in our military, and I have to think that our military is a laughingstock of some of the other armies in the world, especially some of the, you know, countries that we are not so friendly with. Of course, right?
I'm sure China is laughing their butts off.
But yeah, inclusion, weakness, in my opinion.
That's true.
You know, to a certain degree.
Who would you rather make a concession for? Would you rather have a platoon of Gurkhas, a platoon of Sikhs, or a platoon of weirdos wearing dog sex masks? Take your pick. I mean, there is nothing to be ashamed of a Gurkha soldier performing their duties or a Sikh soldier performing their duties. If you show up somewhere with some Sikhs and Gurkhas at your side, whoever that military is, they're going to think twice. They're going to be like, holy crap, they brought some people here. Like, we better watch out. So if a concession to someone's religious beliefs or their code of honor or whatever it may be, if that concession has the baggage of, wow, like, these guys have been producing warriors for 1,000 years, I think they've earned the right. I think they've earned the right to be accepted. As long as they do their job, can carry a rucksack, shoot a rifle, and not complain, do their dang job, I don't see what the big issue is here.
You never remember that one scene in Temple of Doom where they're escaping, you know, and they're on the rope bridge that broke and they're trying to climb up the other side. Remember those Sikhs came and saved the day with what? Enfields, right?
Dude.
You know, during the Commonwealth.
For the love of God, the Sikhs saved Indiana Jones, y'all, with Enfields. I mean, come on. Like, that right there is worth the price of admission alone. Okay. Look up some of the history. These guys are no pushovers. Okay. And you got to think, India has always had a very questionable situation with their neighbors. I mean, they've got those mountains up there that's about the only thing keeping China from just steamrolling right on through. And they have held the Chinese off for a long time. And that right there is an admirable thing. I mean, the Chinese, if they're no joke, okay? You know, when they want you, they want you. And the fact that they have been able to maintain their sovereignty, I mean, come on, y'all. I mean, I think that the Sikhs wearing a turban and a beard is in formation is going to be okay. I think the world's going to keep going on spinning.
Let me ask you a question. So, in the military, all right, I know there's military chaplains, yeah. Right? So, do the chaplains are they mainly practicing Christianity, or are they there for, you know, support of any person of varying religions in the military?
That's a good question.
See, that's something that I'm not aware of.
I think that they will have their own like religions that they kind of focus on, but mm-hmm. I think a chaplain also has to be able to deliver last rites on the battlefield mm-hmm. and to give soldiers inspiration or to give them advice and any religious question. I mean, like, that's a good question. If a Jewish soldier, for instance, mm-hmm. Wanted to talk to someone, does that mean that if he went in to talk to a chaplain who had the Christian symbol, that chaplain would not be able to, you know? I think that they have to have a good rounded basis of different religions. That's a good question, yeah, though. I don't really know
if they had multiple chaplains or kind of like a single chaplain in a given group of soldiers, whatever the case is.
If any of y'all viewers out there have ever been a chaplain in the military, I'd love to interview you over StreamYard and talk about this in further detail so that we can answer Chad's question with a little bit more authority behind it. I'm speculating. I'm just going to put that out there. I don't really know.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. I have seen chaplains with various religious symbols, so I would imagine that they probably all specialize in a certain religion, but I don't really know. That's a good question. But, you know, the thing is, the truth of the matter is that we are a mixing pot of different cultures, and there are many people, and I can understand maybe their line of thinking, right? There's a lot of people that say, well, with a mixing pot of cultures, with a multicultural society, you can never really have a truly strong country. That multi-nationalism or multiculturalism or whatever, like multicultured environments like the United States is, oh, they're doomed to failure. They never succeed. And while that very well may be in a historical sense true in some cases, right? I think that this is the hand we're dealt and this is what we have to deal with. And I think that it's important that anyone who wants to serve the United States of America, anyone who wants to join the military and potentially give up to including their life in defense of this country, I think they should be given a fair chance to do so. And a fair chance. All an American needs is a chance to prove themselves.
I agree.
So I have no problem with a person proving themselves. Now, if it turns out to be a bad idea and down the road we go, wow, this was a terrible idea, well, then we know what we know. But again, as they say, America is the great experiment. I have no problem with these folks being given a chance to show, you know, to prove themselves. And I'll leave it at that. But I was shocked at how ridiculous this post went. Like, in fact, I'm going to...
You think it's like no big deal, just in passing. It's like, oh, okay, well, cool. But man, people have some very, very divided opinions about it and feelings, for
extremely
sure.
Extremely divided. So I'm going to go back to the post real quick. And before we leave, I'm going to read a few of your comments. Just in the time that we took, so we've been on this video 25 minutes. In the last 25 minutes, that this post has gotten an additional 60,000 impressions.
When you find those posts, screenshot them so I don't have to dig through 1,000 comments to find them.
I'm going
to
screenshot them.
All right. Good.
All right. So I'm going to just go down the list and read a few comments for y'all. All right. Wardall says, it's going to be hard to get a gas mask seal, but hey, diversity, right? Okay.
Thank you.
Makes editing let's see. Much easier. Chris Loesch says, it's not uniform, but there are bigger fish. I agree. I mean, look, I understand uniform standards, uniformity, but I agree. I think that we have way bigger problems to worry about, and I think that's an astute observation. All right. Rusty Shackelford, he's out of uniform. A blind man could see it. My response, I think Uncle Sam can make an exception. He said, I think Uncle Sam has made many exceptions already. That's true. Good point. My response was, it's certainly hard to argue that, but if given the choice, I think I'd prefer to give a pass to a group of people who are known for raising good fighters. And of course, you know, there's lots of people that are very supportive of both his comments and mine. So to be fair, that, you know, kind of puts it in both pots there. Let's see. Patrick Kirby says, every ski I've ever met is a badass. Okay. Every Sikh. I'm sorry. I messed up. I'm gotcha so there. Bad about pronouncing gotcha words. You're right. Let's see. There's so many. There's so many comments that it's impossible, and they're popping through so quick, it's hard to read. There are hundreds, if not 1,000 comments on this particular post.
This is insane.
I could literally, let's see. Sikhs are an honorable people, direct and honest. They were known as fierce warriors against the Mughal invaders. Mm-hmm. And no, I am not a Sikh. Let's see. I think forcing a Sikh to cut his hair to be a U.S. Marine would be similar to forcing a Christian to piss on the Bible to be a U.S. Marine. Okay. Fair. Let's see. One more. Riley Jane Melly. I'm a little divided on this, but mostly it is the logistics that make me pause. I think the Marine Corps can always use awesome fighters, and some of the best human beings I know are also Sikhs. I also understand that times change, and I am sure over the last 34 years since I left, things have changed quite a bit. That being said, uniformity creates a bond and allows the military to function as a unit versus a group of individuals. Logistics can also be a time-consuming, costly nightmare when the military goes too far astray from the uniformity in the ranks. I used to compile budgets for different HQ sections. It was basically all the same from section to section, until you came to the chaplain. The chaplain's budgets were insane. He had to manage everything necessary to provide religious guidance and service to at least a dozen different religions.
Perfect.
When you start changing uniform, diet, protective gear, personal hygiene gear, to meet all those various requirements, deployment logistics take on a whole new respect. So basically, hoorah, Marine, and I'm glad I'm not the f***er trying to work this out to make HQ happy.
So, like,
okay, he would fair enough.
So he'd actually be saving the Marines a little bit of money because they wouldn't need a razor for him, right?
Well,
yeah,
you know. Just kidding.
But that answers my question. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Appreciate
so,
it.
So, hey, always leave it up to Twitter comments to help provide some perspective. There
problem
are so many great comments I would love to read, but I know this video is getting a little bit on the long side, but wanted to weigh in on this, and I had Chad here. We were cutting some gripes together, so you know how opinionated Chad is on this kind of stuff, so I thought it'd be kind of fun to get Chad's opinion in here.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
I mean, I don't see nothing wrong with it, man. I just don't.
Me neither.
I mean, when I saw it, I'll just leave y'all with this thought. When I first saw the post, I was just proud of that Marine. That was all I could think. Like, all I felt was just proud for that guy to have gotten what he wanted, to have gotten to serve his country and be able to have his religion respected. The first thought that came in my mind wasn't, well, that's out of standard or that's against the... No.
All
I thought was, wow, I'm proud of that guy.
It's always amazing.
Can't it just be that simple?
Yeah. It's always amazing to me just where people's minds go and the direction that they take things when... Like, how did you even read that in the situation at all?
Yeah.
Maybe it's my age. Maybe it's my kids. I don't know. But, like, it takes a lot to get me upset about things like this these days.
I know. And the more of the world you see, the more perspective you gain about other people,
yes,
and the more you learn about other cultures, and you go, you know, it's like everyone's just trying to fight in life. Like, everyone's trying to get through the fight of living their life to the best of their ability. And you know, the world's hard enough already to survive without having to throw a bunch of this conjecture in the mix.
Yeah.
And just let people be who they're going to be and let's just serve. Let's do what we got to do, you know?
And look, deep down, everybody ultimately wants the same things, the same important things, right?
It's true, man.
I mean, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness.
That's right.
You want to know what it means to be an American? Seeking those goals.
That's right. Seeking. Oh, I see what you did there.
That's
some dad level crap. Right? That's a dad joke from hell.
Comes with age.
All right. I hope everybody has a wonderful day. Thanks so much for tuning in. And I'm sure the comment section on this one's going to be lit. And maybe I will see y'all again if I still have a show. Well, we'll see y'all later. Have a good one.